And now can Allah Maral says to the Goylam, to Yasul the Goylam, go to my house. Now the Maral's house is very near the shul. Go to the house and bring another bottle of wine. And everybody's, of course, standing there watching the whole thing. And Yasul the Goylam now goes towards the house of the Maral. And he's passing by the front of the shul. And all of a sudden, he stops and he's looking up at the window, one of the windows of the shul. And he just stops. And the people start screaming, Yasul, go to the house and get wine. Everyone's waiting. You never saw the shul before? You don't have to look at the shul. Go to the house. And he's just standing looking at a window in the shul. It seems, boys, that this was one of the windows of the Viber's shul, where the ladies are up on top. And they have a window over there. And Yasul the Goylam is looking up at the window. Now, nobody's in the shul now. Nobody's up there. And he's just looking at that window. Of course, nobody that anybody else saw was up there. But Yasul is staring. And then everybody is yelling, go get the wine. And Yasul now runs, but he does not run to the house of the Maral. He goes to the room of the Beistin. The room where the Maral takes care and the judges, the Dayanim, take care of Din Torahs and all the special Rabbanish things that they have to do. And he runs into the room and people start screaming, don't go there, go to the house to get the wine. And now the Goylam goes into that room and he comes out a few minutes later and he's running with a piece of paper in his hand. People start screaming, don't bring a piece of paper, bring a bottle of wine. Yeah, you can't make a bracha, you can't put a piece of paper in the cup. You have to put wine in the cup, not a piece of paper. And the Goylam is running with a piece of paper and he gives it under the chuppah to the Maral, and the Maral reads the paper. And the paper says, Hachosin v'hakala ach v'achois. You know what that means? Who could tell me what that means? Who could teach me what it means? Hachosin v'hakala ach v'achois.
The chosin and the kala are brothers and sisters.
The chosin and the kala are brother and sister. All of a sudden, the Maral said, oy vey, a brother and a sister. Oy, oy, a brother and a sister. And he says to the Goylam, how do you know? And the Goylam, of course, as we know, could not talk. He pointed to the window of the shul. The window up on top, where this was the window, the part of the shul by the Viber shul, where the women sat when the women were in shul. And the Goylam is pointing at that window. And everybody turns to look up at that window. Nobody sees anything. Because nothing was there. Nothing was there that their eyes could see anyway. However, the Maral looked at the window. And he stared at the window for a long time. And the Goylam also looked over there. And everybody else is looking around. What do they see? Now, Kinalach, who remembers the story of the Akedah when Avram and Yitzchak went, when Avram took Yitzchak to make him a korban, and also Yishmael and Eliezer went? Who remembers that Maisa? And Hashem told Avram, you'll know when you get to the place because I'm going to tell you when you get there. Now, what was the way that Avram knew that this was the place he was supposed to go? Because he saw a certain mountain and there were clouds circling around the mountain. And the rest of the clouds in the sky were just going like regular clouds going in the sky. But these clouds were going around in a circle around the mountain. And Avram saw that and he said to Yitzchak, Yitzchak, do you see anything special by that mountain? And Yitzchak said, yes, Ta, I see clouds circling around the mountain. And Avram asked Eliezer, Eliezer, take a look at that mountain. Do you see anything special over there? Eliezer said, no, I just see a mountain. And he asked Yishmael, do you see anything particular or special over by that mountain there? And Yishmael said, no, I just see a mountain. Now, Avram and Yitzchak could see those clouds, but Yishmael and Eliezer could not see the clouds. You know why? Because Avram and Yitzchak were big tzaddikim and their eyes could see things that other people could not see. Like we learned that the tzaddikim have the light of the first day that was hidden from the first day, and they could see certain things even to the ends of the world. Obviously, Kinalach, the Maharal saw something in that window, and the Goyim saw something in that window, and he told, I mean through the note, he let the Maharal know that from somebody that was by that window, he knows that the Chosen and the Kala are brother and sister. And nobody knows what's happening over here. Only really the Maharal and the Goyim know what's going on over here. Now, all the people, you know, nobody knew what was going on, but when they heard the Maharal say that, they said, "Oy vey, a brother and a sister. How could it be?" And Kinalach, everyone was so surprised. And the Maharal said to everyone, "I'm sorry, tonight can be no chasaneh. I have to investigate and find out what's going on over here. Something is happening, and I have to look into it. Everyone should go home, and we'll let you know what's going to be." And Kinalach, the people had no choice, but they had to go away from the chuppah, and they went home. And of course, the cooks stopped the cooking, and I don't know what they did to their food, because they didn't have such refrigerators and freezers in those days. And the band took home their banjos and their violins and their fluties. And everybody had to go home, and everybody's wondering, what in the world is happening? What's going on? That night, after 12 o'clock midnight, Kinalach, the Maharal was home, and he called in Yossel the Goylem. And he says to Yossel the Goylem, "Take my stick and go to the Beis HaKfarois. Go to the cemetery, to the grave of Esterol, the midwife, who passed away many years ago." And he says to the Goylem, "Put the end of my stick on her grave and tell her, of course, tell her neshama, that tomorrow she must be ready to come to a judgment in the Beis Din Shel Mata." That means the Beis Din in the world, the court in the world. As we know, there are two Beis Dins. There's the court in the world, and there's the Beis Din Shel Mila. There's the court up in the Himmel. And even though Esther had passed away, she is being called by the Maharal to come to a judgment in the court in the world. And the Goylem took the stick of the Maharal, Kinalach, and in the middle of the night, he wasn't scared, he goes to find the grave of Esterol, the midwife, and he does what the Maharal says. And he comes back with the stick and gives it back to the Maharal. Early the next morning, Kinalach, the Maharal goes to the shul. And he asks a few of his close people to go get some boards, some pieces of wood, and in the corner of the shul they should build a little wall, like a mechitza. A little wall in the corner of the shul. And the people go and they get some nails and some hammers and some wood, and they make a little wall in the corner of the shul. And then the Maharal says, one of the tables should be put over on this side of the shul. And they put a table on one of the sides of the shul with some chairs. And nobody knows what's going on. What's happening here? Maybe it's connected to the chasana that didn't happen last night. And then all of a sudden the Maharal announces to the people coming to daven, "Today nobody should leave the shul after the davening. Everyone should stay." Of course, they're all surprised. Usually they go home after davening to go to work or to go do whatever they have to do. And the Maharal says, "Everyone should stay in shul." And he said, everyone after the davening should sit over here. Now, he pointed on the other side of the bima. You know, where they read the Sefer Torah. All the people should sit on the other side of the bima. And on the other side, means the first side of the bima, not where the people were sitting, was the table with the chairs. And close to there, in the corner, was the little wall of boards. And the Maharal says to Avraham Chaim, his helper, make sure that the mechutanim, the families of the chasana, should come, everyone to the shul, the men and the women. The chasana and the kala should come. Both barrels should come. Both of their wives should come. All the families, everyone, should come to the shul. And of course, kinalach, everybody came to the shul. And after the davening, all the people stayed, and they went on the other side of the bima, and they sat down. And the Maharal sat down by the table with two other judges, two other big Talmidei Chachamim, Dayanim, Rabbanim. And close to the table where the Maharal was, were the chasan and the kala, and the two barrels and their two wives. And now the Maharal gets up, everyone's quiet, nobody knows exactly what's going to happen. And the Maharal says in front of everyone, we are now starting a judgment. And everybody looks around, who's going to be judged here? They didn't see anybody that's standing up to be judged. I mean, what's going on over here? And the Maharal says, we call to judgment the neshama of Estherol, the midwife, who passed away many years ago. We ask her now to come to the Beis Din Shalmata, to come to judgment in this shul, in front of the judges here. And everyone says, huh? A neshama of Estherol? Now, many of them remember Estherol from many years ago. She passed away. All of a sudden, the goyim kinalach gets up. The Maharal looks at the goyim, and the goyim points his finger towards the little wall of boards, the little mechitza. And he nods like this. And the Maharal understands from this that the neshama of Estherol is there by the little wall of boards. And kinalach, everybody got afraid. They felt afraid. They didn't know why they were afraid. Like it says in the Torah, there's a story of a tzaddik walking with other people, and all of a sudden, the other people became very afraid. And they looked around. They didn't know why they're so afraid. Now, the tzaddik kinalach saw that there was a malach right there. A malach came. He saw the malach with his halakha eyes and his Ruach HaKodesh. The other people could not see the Malach, but they felt afraid that something was happening special. Now, why did they feel afraid if they didn't see the Malach? So it says, even though they didn't see it, their mazel saw the Malach. A part of their neshama that was higher than them, that was connected with them, saw the Malach. These people, kinalach and their shul, their neshamas, their mazel could feel that something was happening there special. All of a sudden, kinalach, the Maharal says to... Now, the first thing he did, he went over to the table of the parents of the chasan and the kala, the two barrels and their wives, and he asked them to tell over all the different things that happened since their children were born. And they told all the different things until they got to the births of this chasan and this kala. And they mentioned that Estherol, the midwife, was the one who was there for the births of all the children, of both families. And now the Maharal says, Estherol, the midwife, should now tell what she has to tell to the Beis Din Shalmaila. And all of a sudden, kinalach, there was a voice. Now, this voice, you have to understand, by the table of the judges and the table of the parents and the chasen and the kala, they could hear the voice clearly. But on the other side of the bima, who was sitting on the other side of the bima?
All the people.
All the people that had stayed after the davening, they could not hear the voice clearly. They could only hear like... They heard a sound. But on the other side, where the judges were in the family, they could hear clearly, I am Esther, the midwife. I have come back from the other world. It is very important that I come, because I have done a terrible thing. I meant well, but I have caused a very not good thing to happen. I want to admit to everyone today that I exchanged the two babies. The son of the Reuter Barrel I exchanged and gave to the Schwarzer Barrel. And the son of the Schwarzer Barrel I gave to the Reuter Barrel. And because of that, it comes out that the Chosen and the Kala are brother and sister. They both are from the Red Barrel's family. And they almost married each other. If Chas V'Shalem they would have gotten married, I would have received a punishment forever. And I was not allowed into Gan Eden because of what I did. And I asked permission to fix it before it's too late. And they told me in the Beis Din Shalmaila, the only way to fix it is to stop the Chasaneh and to ask forgiveness from the Chasen and the Kala, because I have embarrassed them and their families. And only if they forgive me with a whole heart will I be allowed to go to Gan Eden. And in the schus of the Helik Tzadik Maharal, they let me come down and stop the chasene, and I was able to knock over the wine to let him know that something was wrong. Please forgive me for what I did. Please forgive me. Only if you forgive me will I go to Gan Eden. I feel so bad. I only meant well. I did a terrible thing. I made such a problem and embarrassed you. And now, Kinalok, she starts to cry. And the people on the other side of the bima could now hear the crying, and everyone in the shul started to cry with Esther. They felt so bad because she meant well. She meant it from her heart. She really meant to do a good thing to help the wife and the family of the Schwarzer Barrel to have a baby boy and a healthy one. But of course, it caused problems later on. And Esther had her chance to come to fix it now, but she now has to be forgiven by the Chosen and the Kala for being embarrassed, and the families. And of course, Baruch Hashem, the main thing that happened, they didn't get married as a brother and sister. And the Maharal says to the Chosen and the Kala, do you forgive Esther for what she did? And they say, yes, yes, we forgive her with our whole hearts. And he turns to the two barrels and their wives. Do you forgive Esther for what she did? Oh, yes, yes, we forgive her. And now, Kinalach, the Maharal said, Esther, you may go back to the other world, to Gan Eden. You are forgiven. Everything has been fixed. And you may now leave. And Kinalach, the Maharal, asked that the little machitza be taken apart because Esther was no longer there. And he brought the big book from the shul that he wrote down all kinds of important things. And they wrote this whole story down in the big book. And the Maharal said that one of the boards of the mechitza should be nailed into the corner of the shul to remember what happened on this day. And I was not in that shul. I know people that were. But apparently in one of the corners in the shul is a board nailed to the corner that looks different than the other boards, and that's to remember this story. Now, if it's still there today or if it was only there at that time, I don't know. But the story is not over yet. There's a happy ending to the story. It's already happy because Esther got her fixing for her neshama. But there's even a happier thing. But there's even a happy thing that happened in the world. The Maharal said, shh. He told everybody, there should still be a chasana. The wedding can go on. And of course, everybody is wondering, how could the wedding go on if the chasan and kala were brother and sister? So the Maharal said, look, the two boys now know who they are. And the kala could stay the kala. And she could now marry, if she agrees, the real Beryl's son. The real Schwarze Beryl's son. She could still marry the right one. In other words, the one she thought would be her chassan was really her brother. The one that she thought was her brother was really not her brother. If she wants to get married now to the chassan that's not her brother, that could become her chassan, if she agrees to that, I mean, he used to be her brother, now he could become her chassan. If she wants to get married to him, that would be a kosher chassanet. And that way the two Beryl's families would make a chassanet. Does she agree? And the Maharal said, think it over, and if you'd like to still have the chassanet, we'll wait 2 weeks and make the chassanet. And during that time, kinalach, the girl decided to marry the chassan from the other family, the other Beryl's family, and they became a real chassan and kala. They made a beautiful chassanah. Do you know who came to stand under the chuppah and to do the 7 brachas under the chuppah to be mesada kedushin and to marry the chassan kala? You know who came?
The Maharal.
The Maharal himself said the brachas and the wine and the brachas, and of course this time everything went fine. You know who else was by the chassanah? You know who else came to the chassanah? Who else came?
The Goyim.
The Goyim came to the chassana, and Avram Chaim came to the chassana, and the same musicians with their banjos and their flutes and violins and their trumpets came to the chassana, and the same cooks. I hope they cooked some new food. It's 2 weeks later. Hopefully they used new food, you know, that was fresh, and they didn't keep it out for 2 weeks. They probably ate it up anyway already, and they cooked new food. And they had a beautiful chassanah. And the chassan and kala were very happy. And the two Beryls and their families were very happy. And everyone was happy. And of course, Esther was happy in Gan Eden. And it's a happy ending to the story in this world and in the next world. Now, there was a tzaddik, I'm sure you've heard his name, Reb Meir of Primishlan. He was the one that walked up the icy mountain, remember, without falling down? Reb Meir of Primishlan was a halakha tzaddik and a Rebbe. And one day, a yid came to him crying. He said, Rebbe, Rebbe, people are trying to take away my parnaseh. People are trying to take away my parnaseh. What am I going to do? Now, we know parnaseh means when you make money for your family. When Tati works and Tati has a job and he goes to make money for the family. So this is called parnaseh. And it's very important, of course, that we have enough money for food and clothes and a place to live and all the things we need. And there are three pipes There are three pipes that Hashem gives us through these pipes, all the things that we need from the Shemayim. It's called Bane, Chaye, and Mezoini. Bane means children. Chaye means your health. And Mezoini means Parnasa, all the things that you need. And when we have money and things that we need, we can live our Yiddish life and do Torah mitzvahs. If Chas V'Shalom were poor, if Chas V'Shalom we have no money, we can't live. We feel, like the Torah says, a very poor person is like Chas V'Shalom, he's not alive. He doesn't have the things that he needs. Shh. And this man is crying to Reb Meir Priya Mashlan, somebody is trying to take away my parnaseh. I'm working and I'm trying to take money from my family, but people are trying to take it away. This is what Reb Meir answered the Yid. He says, did you ever watch horses by the river? What do you mean horses by the river? Somebody's trying to take away my parnaseh, and you're asking if I go to the river to watch horses by the river. Reb Meir says, no, this is the answer. Did you ever watch a horse when he comes to drink from the river? Did you ever notice what he does? Well, I think he goes to the river, he puts down his head, and he drinks from the river. Isn't that what he does? Reb Meir says, think again what you see by the river when horses go to drink. This is a thing that a Yid would see in those days all the time. A horsey going to drink from the river. Maybe we don't see it so much in Brooklyn. A horse going to drink from the river. The Yid thinks to himself, let's see. He goes to the river. He puts his head down to drink. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember now. He takes his horse foot and he kicks the river. I saw that many times. The horse kicks the river and then he drinks. Reb Meir says, did you ever wonder why he kicks the river? Why does he have to kick the river? Why shouldn't he just drink? Reb Meir says, I'll tell you why the horsey kicks the river. Because the horsey goes to drink. All of a sudden, now remember, a horse is not exactly as smart as a person, hopefully. The horsey puts his head down, he puts his face to the water, he opens up his mouth, he's about to take a drink, and all of a sudden, he sees another horse. The horse says, look, it's another horse in the river, he wants to drink my water. Now, of course, is he seeing another horse, or is he seeing his own reflection in the water, just like a mirror? He's seeing himself. But he's not smart enough to figure it out. It looks to him like there's another horse still in the river. And the horse thinks, oh, the horse is taking me away my water. He's going to drink up my water. I won't have enough water for myself. So what does he do? He kicks the river to get rid of the other horse. And as soon as he kicks the river, of course, it makes a ganz tumult in the water and he can't see himself. And he goes to drink and he thinks, ha, 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 I got rid of the other horse. That's what he thinks. And the Yid says, but it's ridiculous. There's no other horse trying to take away his water. It's himself. And there's nothing really there. There's plenty of water to drink. And Reb Meir smiles and he says, that's the answer to your problem. Hashem is the one that gives parnasa to all the people in the world. And there's plenty of parnasa for everyone. And if you think somebody's trying to take it away from you, it's not really they are trying to. If it's not Api Shulchan Aruch that they're trying to, it only looks that way, and you're getting very upset. So don't worry about it. There's a big river. There's plenty of water for all the horses. There's plenty of parnasa for all the people that need parnasa. Hashem has His way to give the parnasa. And don't be afraid that somebody is taking away your parnasa. Hashem gives to each one what's coming to him, and nobody can take away what's coming to you, and you cannot take away what's coming to someone else. Because everything is from Hashem. And of course, he didn't worry anymore about somebody taking away his parnasa.